Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. All right, we're going to talk about saving for retirement. A report from Mercer Canada found millennials who rent for their entire careers are going to have to save more for retirement than those who own their own home. It's according to the Mercer Retirement Readiness Barometer. Jillian Kennedy is a partner at Mercer Canada. She leads the firm's Canadian financial wellness strategy, and she joins us now to talk about these findings. Hello there.
Hello.
Were you surprised by this finding number one about renters versus owners?
So we were not surprised. We've been watching this generation for a long time for three reasons. One, they're just not going to have the same level of investment return that past generations have had to grow their savings and rely on that time horizon of compounding interest. But also they have increased levels of debt and now have to deal with cost of living. So we're not surprised by the gap that we've seen with this generation in general.
It is it's like taking a wound and pouring salt and vinegar on it. And then, I don't know, putting your arm in the microwave, something like that, because we already know how difficult it is to afford a home. And that felt like a present issue, but what you're pointing to is it is a future issue, one that is going to have consequences decades and decades later for these millennials.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly why we did the study, is because there's still time to really invest in how this could look different for every generation. But we think it's so important that the steps that individuals are taking now will impact how they'll be able to retire, if they'll be able to retire, and what that retirement looks like in 20 years from now.
Tell me about the math here. So there is a mathematical case to be made for renting and owning to be precisely the same. That is not how it unfolds in practice. What are the differences?
So we wanted this to be really simple. The whole thing, the whole purpose of this study is to encourage discussion. So let's talk about the math. We needed to create two different personas, but we wanted these personas to have the same total kind of, you know, level of behavior. So we assumed they both started saving when they were 25 years old. We assumed that they had $60,000 in earnings, and we assumed that they would both need about 69% of their pre-retirement income in order to be able to retire and afford that retirement. So we started with these two personas having this exact same ways of being able to reach and transition to retirement. And of course, as a consulting firm, we have lots and lots of ways to model different economic outcomes. And so we did this type of modeling and landed on the 75th percentile of outcomes from a financial perspective. But what's really important is what we overlay on top of that. Mm-hmm. So we took someone who owned their home as paying about $500,000. So that's the average from the Canadian Real Estate Association. Again, this is a starter home price. We all know that maybe you can't afford something, that something like this might be much, much higher in certain areas, but this is the average. And then we assumed that somebody who was renting was paying $2,000 a month. And that's where we were able to start to see the deviance and the gap among these two personas.
How big a gap, when all is said and done, at whatever age you decide retirement begins, what's the order of magnitude in terms of how this plays out?
So there are three findings. The big headline finding is that those who rent their home would have to save 50% more than those who own their home. I mean, the bottom line is, and I think we probably all know this in practice, is your home is equity. And if you think about the three-legged stool, going back to fundamentals, the first stool is government benefits. The second leg of that stool is going to be your own personal savings. And the third is equity. And your home is a big part of that equity. But
does it make the assumption that the homeowner sells that home as a way of funding their retirement in part?
So we didn't go that far because this is where we want the discussion to start. We recognize that people will have different thing, you know, different ways of treating that equity in retirement and throughout retirement. We also know that some individuals might not have paid off their entire mortgage. We know all of this, but what we want to highlight here is that having a home allows for flexibility. It increases affordability. It increases the quality of life because that person now has that that equity that they can do something with, whether it's reverse mortgages or renting out or downsizing or what have you. Whereas that renter is always going to be subject to cost of living increase, affordability issues, and being later in retirement just doesn't have the same type of tools that the home equity provides.
What would you say to a 27-year-old listening to this program who does not have a parent who can underwrite the down payment? Should they sell both their kidneys and their corneas, and anything else that they can sell just in order to get on that housing ladder?
So I think the first thing that I would, so this is what came out in the research. This is a very resilient generation. And we do find that there is still time. This is a point in time study. Things could get better. They could get worse. But I think that there are two key takeaways. First of all, we find this generation often has access to some type of workplace program that they can get matching, or they can have some type of discounts in fees or some type of incentive to be able to save. And this generation just does not participate in those workplace programs to the same level that we've seen past generations, because they want the money to be accessible. And so there's kind of a call to action here. Please, please, please take a look at your workplace programs and prioritize that as part of your financials, but also encourage your employer to offer you more flexibility so that you feel comfortable doing so. And then the second call to action is really around financial well-being. We see this in the health space. We know what we need to do to be healthy. We also know what we need to do to be financially well. And so there is some hygiene here to create some good confidence, to be able to have the tools to continue to be resilient and to know when you need to change your course of action. So making sure you're budgeting, making sure you understand what your wants and needs are in that budget, making sure you reach out for help when you need it, and paying down debt.
Your report also talks about not being risk averse. What do you mean?
So we also have seen that in times where individuals are either struggling with prioritizing their money, maybe they have debt, or maybe they're just really sensitive to downturns that we see in financial markets with lots and lots of bad news, potentially creating negative returns. And we actually also took a look at a person that might be transitioning into retirement, and we assumed that they just exited the market. They just sold off all of their equities and were sitting in just a very safe, you know, interest-based GIC for just 3 years before they go into retirement. And we actually found that that individual would have a 10% lower probability of being retirement ready. And so there is also a call to action that, you know, you have time on your side, not only towards retirement, but also in retirement, you continue to invest. And so taking some risk to grow your capital, obviously being mindful of what the risk you're taking based on your tolerance, is always prudent to be able to grow your money faster.
Depending on what you do for a living, there is a certain amount of labor mobility in this country, and all houses are not priced equally. As you say, that average around 500 grand will get you absolutely nothing within 50 kilometers of a major city, but it could buy you a fully detached home in some communities. What advice do you have on millennials really testing their assumptions about where they live and where they choose to build a life?
So I would say taking into consideration, you know, your long-term equity and how you grow that equity. But that's easier said than done. On paper, you can absolutely create a good plan to grow your equity, but you still have to have a good quality of life, right? And so this is the behavior we're starting to see in the research, right? The quality of life is of utmost importance to this generation. And I want to say all generations were seeing this data. And really, this is around this concept of I want to have fun. I want to enjoy my life now in this moment. Mm. So there's a balance there, right, of making sure that you've got the good equity, but have that good quality of life. And I think it's just so great that there are more opportunities now within the workforce to achieve that.
You mentioned how millennials participate less in certain employer plans. Does your data show that they have a harder time making trade-offs between their current self and their future self? Is that anecdotal, or does the data back that up?
That's absolutely what we're seeing in the data. But I also think that there's a call to action to move to allow more flexibility within retirement plans. I do have, all of the, I do see those individuals that are trying to make a decision between, do I take this money that's coming off of my pay that's going to lock in for 20 years, or do I take this money and I actually use it towards paying down my debt? These are questions we get all of the time. And I think the call to action to employers is to allow for this flexibility so that these decisions don't have to be made. Match someone's contribution to a retirement program and allow that company money to grow while still allowing that employee to access that. And I think we're not too far away from that, to be honest, because we see that this is already happening on the health side, where more flexibility has been added to personalized benefits. And we'll see this on the financial side as well.
Thank you, Jillian, for joining us today. It is a very helpful conversation. It's very insightful, your findings. I just wish it smelled more like chocolate cake, you know?
I do too.
I know. I just love. Now, I will say, I have a pan of chocolate brownies that my 13-year-old made. So I'm going to remember every word that you said, but I'm also going to go and have half that pan of brownies to just
I love
get
it.
Over
Sounds
it.
Sounds great.
Jillian Kennedy, partner at Mercer Canada. She leads the Canadian Financial Wellness Strategy, and she was here to talk about the Mercer Retirement Readiness Barometer, in particular, the difference that millennials will see if they choose to rent for their entire careers or if they choose to bite the bullet and buy their own home.